was your first encounter with salvation? Most of us, except you, I think, you didn't grow up in church, right?
No.
So what was the moment where you really accepted the Lord? Was it the first time that you went for prayer and you made the prayer and that was it for you? Or was there something else?
No, actually, my story, it took about 2 years.
Yep.
Me going to church. Mm-hmm. And after those 2 years, I realized I have to make a decision. And that moment came.
In those 2 years, you were just visiting? You never went up for prayer? You never...
I was visiting. There were moments where I would, you know, go in mm-hmm. for weeks, maybe a couple months, but then, you know, yep. I would step out and do things. But I had that moment after 2 years. I was around 17, maybe almost 18, and that one service came, and just a word just hit me, and I surrendered.
Yeah,
that was it for me.
Wow. What about you guys?
I was about, I'm probably going to say like 11. And I'm saying this because we used to have service in my house. And I was so wanting to like feel the Holy Spirit. And then I asked my dad, "Dad, I want to feel the Holy Spirit." He was like, "You want to feel it?" He says, "Go on your knees right now. Just ask God, fill me with your spirit." And I'm sitting there and I'm praying on my knees, I'm praying. And this overwhelming, powerful, my body started shaking on its own. Like just started shaking on its own. And then that was the day that I decided to give God my heart. Because I grew up in it, but that was the moment that I knew he was real to me.
Yeah.
Mm. That moment.
But then you grew up, you walked away.
The forever was when God reminded me of my 14-year journey. He just showed me that I understood that it was my choice to do the things I did. Because some people say, "Why God? Why God?" No, why me? And he showed me that journey. And it came to the point where I was really struggling with church and relationship. Mm-hmm. And he spoke to me. I heard it so loud. He was like, "Your mind is too much on the outside."
Yep.
He said, "Your relationship is with me." Mm. That changed. To this day, after I heard that, I have not turned back, and I won't turn back. I understand it.
I was at I was actually 8, and I remember the service.
Oh.
I was at North Providence Assembly of God, and they were doing, it kind of felt like a vigil service, but there were a lot of people there. I just remember the church being packed, and I just remember the pastor, you know, back then you have to sit with your parents and you got to listen to church.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there. I just remember the pastor said, "It doesn't matter how old you are. If you decide right now that you want Jesus to be your savior, I want you to just say what I say." And I was like, "Yeah, I want to do that." I was looking around the room. I'm seeing people touched by God. And it made me curious at 8 years old to know what that is.
How old is Jeremiah?
Jeremiah is going to be 8 in June.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did it. I remember doing it and everybody would be like, "You're saved."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What do you mean? I'm saved? For real? That's what it means." Right. And at 8 years old, that's how I felt. But I think there was a few moments where, I mean, it came real, became real to me when I got baptized at 12. I remember the first time I danced in the spirit. I remember a bunch of things that had happened in my life throughout. But I think in different seasons, it has come to life in new ways.
Yeah.
You know, even here when we did the baptism here, and I was like,
"Yeah, I'm going to go in there.
I don't need to be baptized."
Yeah.
But there's a version of me that has lived since then to now, mm-hmm. that I want to entregar.
Yeah.
I want to
surrender.
I want to give that over in a new way. And I remember jumping in the waters and feeling like, man.
Ooh.
My God, I needed that
service.
I grew up in church. I suppose there have been 6 different moments for me where I felt, okay, this is the time. Okay, Lord, for real now. I'm not playing around this time. You know, because a lot of the way the gospel was presented to me, it was me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and each time I messed up, I felt like I had to go back and do it all over. And then when I was about 17, I had a, maybe 16, I had a summer job doing sound for concerts around Boston. And the guy that I was working with was an atheist. And he told me, you know, you're only Christian because your father's a Christian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You didn't. Wow.
And I says, no, I love God. He goes, no. Now, if you grew up, if you'd have grown up Jewish, you'd be Jewish. If you'd have grown up, you know, and he mentioned all the things, and it really, it rocked me. So that year, I went on a journey, and I sat with a Muslim cleric. I sat with a Jewish rabbi. I sat with a Catholic priest. That year, I had conversations because I wanted to know what else was out there.
Yeah.
Was I missing out? Am I in the right thing? And in my limited knowledge and in my limited search, it was an exhaustive search, but it was a search. I came back and said, you know, what makes most sense is this Jesus. This plan of salvation, the way it's described in scripture, that's what makes most sense to me. This Christian faith, to me, the Pentecostal faith, the work of the Holy Spirit, how he works in us and how we feel him, and all that just made the most sense. So when I was about 16 or 17, it's not like I didn't mess up again, but that's when I started to realize that it had less to do with me and more to do with him.
It's good.
Right?
It's good.
And so that's what this show is about today. We're going to talk about salvation and what it means. Let's start the show, boys.
Let's go.
Welcome to a new Discover Life podcast, boys. We had our sixth episode.
Let's go.
Episode all six. Right. My name is Bishop Person Gonzalez. I want to thank you for joining us today. We're about to dive into a deep foundational message that every believer and every seeker needs to understand. It's the issue of salvation. Now, we just finished Easter, and this week, today is, as we record this now, it is Tuesday. So just a couple of days ago, it was Easter. It was incredible. Oh. Full house.
Yes.
A lot of people in both services came to know the Lord. And while I'm thinking about what we want to talk about on Easter, usually we take my sermons and we kind of break them up into a podcast. But I thought, let's talk about what it means to, once you get saved and you're, what does that mean? Why do you need to be saved?
That's good.
And how can you be saved? So today's episode is especially designed to help you understand the importance of salvation. I want to clarify what it means to be saved and show you the simple steps God has provided so that you can experience his love, his forgiveness, and eternal life. That's what today's podcast is. And I'm excited about this because I'm joined in this conversation by faithful pastors, ministers, and deacons, my friend, Pastor Axel.
Hey, everybody.
We got Deacon Eliu.
What's up, everybody?
And we got my boy, Minister Lou.
What's going on?
We all share this passion for preaching the gospel. This is what we've dedicated our lives to. It's been so transformative to us that we've decided no matter what else we do, we're fathers. Some of us are owning our businesses. Some of us are busy in a lot of things. But if you ask us who we are and what we do, this is it.
That's right.
This defines more than anything who we are. This relationship we have with God. So whether you're listening about maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a while, I pray and I hope that this message fills you with a renewed hope and conviction. Amen. So our first segment today is, why do I need to be saved? And I want us to have a nice conversation about this, boys. Let's start with this important question. Why do I need to be saved? You'll hear people say, well, I'm a good person. I don't do bad things. I don't hurt anybody. I love people. I'm kind. I volunteer at the local, you know, animal shelter. I help wherever I can. Why do I need to be saved if I'm a good person? Right? And the answer is rooted in our condition as human beings. It's not you as a person. It's the condition of the status of being a human. The Bible teaches us that every person is born into sin. Mm-hmm. It's not that you did anything wrong. It's that you were born a human. And since the beginning, we've all been born into sin. It's not the sin we made. It's the sin that we are born into.
Right.
So sin isn't just about the bad things you do. It's a condition that separates us from the Lord.
So I think it's important for us to make that very clear to people so they can understand why and how sin is disobedience to God's law. The Bible describes sin as missing the mark, mm-hmm. like aiming at a target and consistently falling short. And that's why the most common word for sin in the Bible is missing the mark. People are coming out of sin, mm-hmm. you know, that they're tired of living in disobedience. And that's why tonight, or whenever you listen to it, it's so important for you to understand more about this, because the farther you get away from sin, okay, the closer you're getting to God, mm-hmm. because that's the truth.
It's powerful. And it's not just about our actions. I think we talk about that piece a lot. We talk about the things that we do, but at the same time, it includes our thoughts and our intentions, right? So the scripture tells us in Psalm 51:5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. That means we're born with a sinful nature inherited from Adam, right? So that's the part that most people who have not chosen salvation through Christ struggle with the most. You're telling me that I'm bad because some guy before me was bad? Mm-hmm. Kind of have a hard time with that. Mm-hmm. And they can't understand the human nature in us.
The capital sin, a capital S sin. Right. It's the sin for all of us.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that inherited sinful nature is what the Bible calls our flesh. Our flesh does not please God. It totally goes against God, which constantly pulls us away from God.
That's right.
And in Romans 3:23 reminds us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is exempt from this. No one.
Yeah. Powerful.
But we all need a Savior. Yeah. We need Jesus. We need that Jesus to bring us back, because we're separated from him at this point. He wants to bring us back.
I think the power in that statement is the fact that it levels the playing ground. None of us is exempt. Every single one of us needs a Savior. And so the beauty, I like having those conversations when somebody's like, yeah, but I don't think I'm in need of a Savior. And I go, but that's the thing, mm-hmm. right? If I just go based on the good things that I do, and you know, I do more good than bad, and I'm not hurting anyone, and I'm not, and I go to justify it, it's going back to this, to that part of the argument that no, all of us have fallen short.
That's right.
We all fall short of the glory of God. And so that, we all belong to that same category. I'm not more than you because I have salvation or less. It's the Christ in me that gives me salvation.
And so we laid this foundation here. Everybody sins. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. Okay, so, but we have to understand that because God is holy, there are consequences for sin.
That's right.
And this is what we call the lost world doesn't truly and fully understand, that because you were born into sin, there are consequences for sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. And so based on our fallen, sinful, fleshly nature, what we deserve from God is condemnation. Ooh. And we deserve to die for our sins. That's what we have to understand in order to understand, why do I need to be saved? Because just being born means that all of us are sinners and we need a Savior.
That's good.
You know, there's something about it. Some people are saying, saved from what? Because this is the big question. People think that you're being saved from hell. No, the wrath of God is worse than hell. Yeah. So it's that's what we're being saved from, because we already had messed it up from the beginning.
Yeah. I heard a guy kind of shared an analogy, and they were sort of having that argument about salvation. And he's like, who says that it's wrong? He goes, well, here's an easy way to do it. Let's have somebody steal your wallet, and then let's see what you do about it. There's a result to
consequence.
There's a consequence to sin. And that's so right. And if you were sitting in the seat of power, the consequence would have to follow, because that's the design.
Yep.
That's right. And so it is a real thing.
And the death isn't just physical. It's a spiritual mm-hmm. and eternal one.
That's right.
So the Bible describes hell as a place of eternal separation from God. That's what hell is. A place of torment prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell for you and me.
Thank God.
Santo.
Hallelujah.
It's good. And some might ask, why would a loving God send people to hell? And something that you have to understand is that the reason why God hates sin is because of what it does to people.
That's right.
That's the reason why.
Yeah.
You know, it messes you up. It destroys your life. It destroys your mind. It destroys your heart. It destroys the temple of God. And that's the reason why God hates sin, and he wants to punish sin. And that's the truth. God doesn't want anyone to go there. Hell is a result of sin's justice.
Yep.
God is holy, righteous, and just. He must punish sin, but his love is so great that he made a way for us to escape punishment.
He's got to punish it, but he made a way of escape.
That's right.
That's the righteousness and the love of God at work.
That's right.
That's amazing. That's why Jesus came, and he didn't just come. He didn't come so that he could condemn us,
yeah.
but to save us. And I think that that's also something that's a hard pill for people to swallow. They keep going back to the argument of condemnation. And he did not come to condemn us, but to save us. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why on Sunday in my portion of the message, you know, I spoke quickly about how the most painful thing he endured wasn't in his body. It was the time of separation from his father, mm-hmm. because that's what sin causes for us to have, is separation. You know, you even talked about it a little bit, man. Please, it's hot. I need something, right? And even to what Pastor Axel just said, you know, we sometimes go so far as to think that salvation is the end of it. That's the part that I get to enjoy later, and I get to enjoy it today too. But there's a freedom from sin I get to enjoy while I live, because I'm now taking on a power that's beyond myself through the blood of Jesus that causes me to no longer have the same cravings for sin.
Yes.
Now I have a craving for righteousness in Jesus.
So understanding why we need salvation is crucial. It's very crucial. It's because we're born sinners. And sin's wages lead us to eternal separation. We get separated from God, you know. But God's mercy offers a solution. And that solution is Jesus Christ.
And there's only one.
There's only one. There Amen. Is no other.
And there's only one.
Only one.
If God were to speak through any earthly religion, wouldn't you expect God to make it obvious? Of all the faiths and all the religions, there's only one. Whew. That claims to have the exclusive door to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jesus.
That's the way, the truth, and the life.
He said, he's the only one that said, I am the only mm-hmm. way. So we need to pay attention.
You know something, just to add to that? You know, God didn't have to do it. But he did it because he loves you. He loves us. That's why he did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got to understand why we need salvation. You have to understand it. It's not because you're a bad person. Hear me. It's not because you're a bad person. It's because you were born a human, and all of us are born broken. We have the slant of sin that came from Father Adam, right? And so because of that, we need a savior.
That's right.
Right? So we go to, what is salvation? Okay, so now we know why we need it, but what is it? I want to clarify what salvation really is today, because salvation is deliverance from sin and its consequences.
Yep.
It's about being rescued from eternal separation from God. Remember what we said. Sin separates us from God. The answer to that is God rescuing us from this separation from God and being brought into a right relationship with God the Father.
Salvation involves forgiveness of sins, regeneration of the spirit, and the eternal life. It's not about being a better person or trying harder. It's about a new birth through Jesus Christ.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's what it's really about. It's being born again.
Yep.
That's what salvation is.
And the result will be that you're a better person.
That's right.
The result will produce what we call spiritual fruit. It will produce it, but that's not the goal. Don't come to Jesus because you want to be a good person or a better person. Come to Jesus because you understand you need him to save you.
Exactly.
And when you are saved, you are a new creature.
That's right.
You learn how to do life over. And in this new, listen, I was born stingy, but I'm
that's
born
right.
again.
That's right.
Generous.
That's right.
Right.
Oh my God. That's good.
I was born angry.
That's right.
But I was born again happy.
All right.
It's this new nature that we get to enjoy that comes through salvation, but it's not the goal of salvation.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. And salvation is a gift from God. You know, Deke said this even earlier. Ephesians 2:89 emphasizes, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
Yes.
And this is not from yourselves. Mm-hmm. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Somebody used the analogy one time. It's like the police officer that gives you the ticket and then takes the ticket and pays it for
you. Yeah.
I got to write it to you.
Yeah.
But this is grace. Mercy says, I think she said, mercy said, I'll rip it up. No, but it did exist. You did do it. And now I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, that's so good. So that means that salvation is not something we earn. It is a gift. It is something we receive by faith. It is a free gift that God offers to everyone who believes in his son.
Yep.
Listen, it's free. I can't work for it. I can't pay for it. You know what I mean? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. But he says, I'm going to give it to you anyway because he loves us. He says, I'm going to give it to you because I love you.
Mm. Yeah.
Love is so, it's the power that we have.
Yeah.
Love. It's his love. He said it earlier. For God so loved the world. God gave. There's a gift there.
Yep.
He gave his son to save us.
And lately I've been saying, if someone asks you how you know you're saved.
I was just going to share that.
Oh, you want to say it? Go ahead. You can say it.
That was one of my favorite lines on Sunday.
That was awesome.
That you share that.
Yep.
Whenever someone asks, you know, how did you get saved? If you start by saying, oh,
because I
go to church, I read the Bible, I bring my tithes and offerings and blah, blah. So it never starts with I.
No. And that other thing
it
you
starts
said,
with because he.
That's right.
I was telling this story yesterday to somebody. That's you know, that part was so powerful to me because it's true. It's true. The guy on the cross, he didn't go through baptism or anything. Yeah. And the guy asked him, how did you get here? He says, I don't know. But he said so.
That guy.
That guy right there.
That guy with the light.
My Savior said so. Amen.
So salvation is that he paid the price. I won't use any real big theological terms. But in a sense, he takes your place.
Yes. Yeah.
On the cross. And on the cross, he took upon himself your sins.
Oh.
That's how you become redeemed. And that's why he had to die.
Yeah.
Because he didn't just do it for you and me. He did it for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he died for our sins. That's the big deal of Good Friday. That's why we mourn on Good Friday. Because he suffered. He was bruised. He was beaten. All of it for our salvation. Right? And so that's why we honor him. His passion was so great that he took your sins on the cross, and having been innocent of any sin, he takes on the sin of the world and becomes the sin of the world.
Mm.
And he is punished on the cross for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's the hero.
Oh my God. Every time, this is how I remind myself of, like, you know what? He loves me so much. I should have been on the cross. I didn't get 39 lashings. His skin was ripped off. His face was deformed. The Bible says that you couldn't even recognize who he was. They were spitting on him. They were throwing rocks at him. I couldn't take that.
Oh, man.
But we deserve it.
I'm so upset. Right now would have been the perfect time to give you my gift, and I left it at home.
My gift? Your gift?
Yeah, I know. I got you a shirt that says everything hurts, and I left it at home. I was going to give it to you right now. I was going to give it to you right now in this podcast, but I forgot.
But you know what? It hurts, but I'm still pushing forward because I love God, and
listen,
his was worse than mine.
When we come to recognize that's what Jesus did for us, when we truly come to recognize what it is that he did and that we could never deserve it, we could never earn it, we'd never be good enough for it. Mm-hmm. And when we really, truly understand it, it causes you to change. I was explaining to my daughter, she's like, Dad, why do you guys love that song so much? The Always On Time song. Mm-hmm. It's catchy, but it's not like the best song. And I'm like, because you haven't lived it yet, baby.
That's right.
You have to understand that once you come to this recognition that it's because he's there, mm-hmm. that things are okay. Because if he wasn't, it wouldn't be okay. And I got the chance to sort of explain to her a little bit about what this salvation thing is all about why it's so important for us to see this. I think sometimes we get so passionate as the people who sit on this side of the table, yep. and we go, man, but what Jesus did for me. And we can cry and we can fall to our face. And sometimes on the other side, they're like, but what do you mean?
What do you mean? Hey, someone told me, what's the big deal? I mean, people died for America. They sacrificed themselves for, what's the difference between Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and anybody that went to Vietnam or fought in World War II or World War I? Yeah. What's the difference? Aren't they the same kind of hero? No. Answer that question for me. Why?
Because the eternity is not on the line of that sacrifice.
Because they died again. Jesus died, but then he resurrected.
Come on.
That's right. That's right.
Lazarus was resurrected, but he died again.
Preach.
So it's a big difference.
But here's another difference.
Preach.
He put all that sin. He took even the people that are in the military. He took all their sin. He took all their iniquities, all their he put it on himself. He took the world and put it on himself. That you who's going to do that?
Well, nobody can because no one was God with
That's
flesh.
Right.
No one That's was right. 100% God. No one was 100% man at the same time enduring what only he could do. It's the reason why the different Adams throughout the Bible could never be enough.
That's right.
There was prophets. There was all these people, but none could ransom us from sin and eternal damnation.
It was only him. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and not any work that we do. You don't have to be good to accept him. And this sounds crazy, but you don't have to be good and be saved. None of us are good.
That's right.
None of us are good. It's through his righteousness that we are saved. I heard a great story about a lamb, and this is not the bummer lamb. This is new lamb. New lamb story.
New lamb.
Right?
I bought the new lamb.
It's a story about a Hugh that has a baby lamb, and the baby lamb dies. And then there's a couple of other baby lambs that die. And so the mothers die too. And so there's this one surviving Hugh that has her baby's dead, but three different lambs alive. They try to get milk from her and she won't accept them because they're not hers. And so what the shepherd does is he takes the dead lamb, takes the blood and sprinkles it on the living lambs. And then all of a sudden the mother lamb accepts the other lambs because when they come to her, she can smell the blood of their lamb.
It's good.
And they are able to be nurtured. That's the salvation of Christ for us.
That's powerful.
God accepts us because we have the blood of Jesus, the Lamb, on us. Not because you're good, but because he was good.
And that's the hard part that a lot of people don't understand. Because in the end time, we want some credit. We want to feel like, I'm saved because, I'm doing things right. You know, we want some type of credit. And it's And it takes some time to die to that. It really does. Because you have to die to those feelings, those emotions.
You're so right.
That when they come, you know, they want to control you. They want to tell you, you know, you're good because, you know, you haven't done anything bad for the last month or last year, you know. And we have to continually to bring that to the cross. Yep. And that's why Easter is so powerful, because all the Easters and all the Good Fridays and resurrections, there's so much fresh revelation on it. I mean, how many times we hear about it?
I can't believe I've preached over 20, I don't know how many Easter sermons.
There's always new things. I always hear new stuff, and I'm like, but this is the same thing from last year.
The same story.
Because I don't think we'll leave Earth and we'll never fully understand, you know, that sacrifice.
So how can you be saved? The next question becomes.
Come to be that.
Come to life. That's right.
So how do you receive salvation? What's the process? The Bible gives us clear steps. Let's go through them. I want to go through these steps so that whoever's listening, if you're kind of new to the faith, I want you to don't get so. Right now, there's a guy that's so in love with our church, but he doesn't know Jesus yet.
Yeah.
But he loves coming to church. Loves being here. Loves worship. Loves serving. Doesn't know who God is.
Yeah. That's a good start, because that was me for 2 years. I loved church.
Yeah.
For 2 years, I kept coming, and I loved how that preacher knew my whole life every Sunday. And he knew what I did that whole week.
Yeah.
And I loved it, and it called my attention. But I didn't have a relationship.
There's a lot of people that are in church right now that are like that, that are feeling like they love church, but they haven't had a personal relationship with Jesus yet.
Because they somehow have missed the steps that we're going to give you now. I believe that if you go through these steps that we're going to share with you, not only will you understand the process of salvation, you'll know what it means, and it changes your Christian walk. Let's start with number one.
Numero uno, admit that you're a sinner. That's the first step.
Yeah.
You admit that you're a sinner. You must be honest with God about your condition.
Yep.
1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Yeah. That's step one.
Yep.
That's so good. Step two is believe in Christ, right? Believe that he died for your sins and rose from the dead. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's good. And three, and it's not just intellectual belief. It's trusting Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And Romans 10:9 says, if you declare it with your mouth, confession, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's powerful.
See, so it's not a matter of saying the words. You have to say it. You have to declare it.
And believe
but you
it.
Have to believe it in your heart. And that's the step that some folks that are going to church have not fully kind of comprehended. It's not just saying the words. I've got to believe that there was indeed a man named Jesus and believe the Apostles' Creed. It's right there for us to really understand that he was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He did all these signs and wonders and miracles so that we would believe. But he preached a message of peace. He was able to reveal God as Father to the entire world. That's who you have to believe that in order to be saved, not just say it, right? So salvation involves repentance and turning away from sin and turning toward Jesus. It's a change of your heart and of your mind, and it's a decision to follow him every day. You can't decide to follow Jesus so that your life will change. You have to follow Jesus because he's the Savior. You got to follow Jesus because he is the Son of God, and he died for your sins and rose for your victory. That's why we follow him. Now, when you start to follow him, sin starts to fall off you.
You start to desire it
less.
That's right.
A hunger for righteousness grows if you're doing it right. If you're with a group of men, if you're with a group of women, and if you're in a youth ministry that really teaches this, then you're going to start to see a change in your life. Not because you want to, but because the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you and transforming you from the inside out.
When I started getting closer to God, I realized how much I need Him. And the closer I got to Him, I realized how much more I need Him.
That's right.
And the that's right. And that's what cleansing is.
Yeah.
You realize how dirty you are.
Yeah.
You realize, just like you have to take showers every day, hopefully every day, but you just, because every single day, you know, things stick to you. There's conversations at work. There's things that happen in your life that bring that past back, and you have to go to God, and you realize, I need you, God.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time thing. I think it's a continuous repenting life that we live before God. We're constantly crying before God and just telling Him, Lord, I need you, and I need you. And that in that continual repenting life that you have gives you the power of God for you to say no to those things. So it's once you believe and repent that you must confess Jesus publicly.
Oh, yes.
Why is that so important to confess Him publicly?
This is Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So profession is a part of your faith journey. You can't be an undercover Christian. If you have been working at the same company for 10 years and nobody knows you're a Christian, I don't know, bro.
Come on.
I don't know, bro.
And that's dangerous because they'll question you when you start to talk about God. And they'll be like, wait a minute, I didn't know you were Christian.
If you become saved, being saved has a purpose. It's called our commission. So you can't be saved and not be commissioned. They both go hand in hand. And so if you are saved, the world must know because you should be on assignment.
Yep.
That's right.
That's, I think, where this becomes activated.
Yeah.
And that's where he's talking about confessing it. You're telling the world, I'm sold out for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I am a follower of Jesus. That's what you're telling them. Yeah. And that you want them to know the new me.
You use the phrase sold out. What does sold out mean? If I have a hat stand and I sell all my hats, the next customer that comes says, I want a hat.
There's none available.
You go, I'm sorry, I'm sold out. And they go, wait, but this is a hat store. I know, but I'm sold out. The guy that came before you bought all my hats.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. When the devil comes wanting something from you and you've given everything to Jesus, when he comes asking, you can tell him, sorry, devil, I am sold out. There's nothing I have left to give you because he, when he came, took everything I had. He took everything I am. I'm sold out for Jesus. That's what it means.
One of the issues in the modern church is that there are plenty of people that are bought in. It's just not sold out.
Come on.
And so they're like, they go, I believe that Jesus is all that. And then I'll apply it in some areas, but I still got vacancies available to be occupied outside of Jesus. Here we are struggling between Sunday to Sunday. Mm-hmm. Who am I actually? You have no identity tied to Christ. Why? Because that blood hasn't been splattered on you yet.
Yeah.
That's
a mic drop.
That's right. They say, I just come to church. And like, I tell people, this ain't my hobby. This is my lifestyle. Yeah. This is what I live for. I live for Him because He was good to me and He made a way so that I can have this salvation that we're talking about.
So good.
I got another story. I should save this one for another podcast.
We got time.
No,
we're good.
No, but I should save it for another podcast.
Does it have to do with this?
Yes, this has everything to do with this.
Go for it.
Go. Okay.
All right, so I used to know this lady, right? And this lady used to throw out her husband at least once every 4 or 5 months.
Oh my God.
Because I can't get out of here. I don't want to. And she throw him out. But whenever he come back to get his stuff, she said, no.
Yeah.
And so he would go to the police and the police would come back with him and say, so long as he has stuff in your apartment, he has legal access to your house.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of us do with when we come to Jesus. We don't sell out. We let the enemy keep his luggage. Mm-hmm. We want him out. Ooh, we don't want the devil.
That's so good.
But we don't let him take the hatred that we've been holding on for. That's not yours. That's his.
Oh, my goodness.
The anger, the anxiety, all the stuff that the enemy has placed in your dwelling. When you kick him out of your heart, when you kick him out of your life, make sure you say, and take your stuff with you.
Listen,
because I don't want you coming
lying.
Back here.
There's a similar story of a man who sold his house. Now, he had that house for many, many years. And he was like, you know, I'm finally going to move out of this house. I've been here 30, 40 years, whatever it was. When he sold the house, he said, the only thing that I want is that nail on that wall. That's always going to be mine. And so one day he left, whatever, things are fine. And then they recognize this guy walking in their house and putting on his hat on that nail. And they're like, excuse me, you can't come in here anymore. He goes, actually, I own that nail right there.
Yep.
And so it's almost as if we give the enemy legal right.
That's right.
By trying to opt into some of the things he offers, because we talk about this at Vida, that the enemy blesses too.
Yes,
and so we opt into his blessings,
like
thinks
it.
We can double dip. And now here we find ourselves stuck in this conundrum where we want to be fully free from the things that we experience on the world because we are fully saved, but we're not fully free yet on the earth because we still give him access.
So we've moved into the next topic without meaning to.
Yeah.
Living out our salvation.
Yep.
Right? We have to figure out how to live out our salvation.
Getting saved is just not the beginning. It's not the beginning. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside you, empowering you to live a new life. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life, your mortal bodies, through the Holy Spirit who dwells inside you. So here it is. This is beautiful stuff. That means once you accept God, the Bible says he seals you with the Holy Spirit. Now you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and giving you power to combat the enemy as well. So he's not just saving you. He's giving you power now through the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us to holiness before God.
I want you to know that serving God is a daily walk.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's a daily walk. You have to choose every day to die to yourself and live for Christ. Every single day, sometimes more than once in a day, right?
So good.
That's salvation right. is ongoing. It's growing in faith.
Daily
That's what
bread.
You have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you need that daily bread.
That's right.
Reading the word, praying, walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 encourages us, says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
The next step is for you to make that decision to get baptized.
Yeah.
Baptism.
That public declaration.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's where you tell the world, where you tell your family, where you tell, you know, hell. It's
That's right.
It's a public declaration of a new life that you have in Christ.
Yeah.
And it symbolizes that dying to sin and rising to a new life in Jesus Christ.
What was important. What was your baptism? How old are you got baptized?
I got baptized, I believe I was probably 19.
Really?
19, 18. I did it right away. I didn't wait, you know, like some people wait years. It was instantly. As soon as I knew I was in, I said, I need to get baptized.
Yeah. What church was it? Was it in a church? Was it in a lake?
It was in a church. We were part of a council, so we went to New York. That was like the... You know, the headquarters, and they had un bautisterio, you know, in the front, and they dipped us in there, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, mine was glorious. I was 12, but I got baptized in New York. It's a place called the synagogue. This place was,
hold
it was
on,
huge.
Hold on.
Yeah. You too?
You too?
That's the same place.
Yeah.
That's
and you know what's great about it? The great thing about that water. Was that they, everybody.
I hope they changed the water.
30 years later, same water.
Well, the Jordan wasn't clean and they were getting baptized. The Jordan wasn't clean and they were getting baptized. But here's a beautiful thing that I'll never forget this, because it felt like I was walking with a whole bunch of angels getting baptized, because everybody was in white. It was if you was there, you'd be like, this is the glory of God. You felt like you was in heaven. Yeah. And then every time somebody got dipped, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They was dancing through the whole day because the Holy Spirit came and upon you. It was powerful.
Ain't nothing like a Pentecostal Baptist.
Oh, no. My goodness.
Yeah, I was 12. I was raised in church, so I followed that.
Yeah.
That cadence.
12, yeah.
So once I hit 12, took the classes, got baptized. But I knew, because at 8, I had already known that I made a certain decision.
Yeah.
And so when I turned 12, I got baptized at Gethsemane, my uncle's church. And same thing, just this glorious experience of celebration. You got all these people around you that are like, it's not just your declaration. It's their declaration with you. It's that's this amazing party that's happening in heaven, but happening on earth. One of the greatest celebrations, I think, anyone will ever have. Yeah. It's not just like a birthday. This is the day, you know? So
I was 12 when I got baptized. It was in New Bedford in the church. And the service was so electric. And when I went in the water, I just felt like somebody was charging up an engine, and I shot out of that water. Wow. I just jumped out of that water. And I don't know what was happening. After the service, a little old lady came up to me. And she said, I'm going to say it in Spanish. She said, cuando tú saliste del agua, yo vi dos ángeles sobre ti alabando a Dios.
Oh, my goodness.
And what she said was, when you came out of the water, I saw two angels hovering over you, praising God as you were dancing. So it was a more than just an inspirational picker-upper. More than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a life-changing, transformative moment.
The best part of my ministry as a deacon is baptizing people.
Yep.
And let me tell you, when every they time. Come out and they start jumping, I start jumping with them. I'm going to say one thing. We had a service here one time. This happened only one time. We was baptizing people, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my bishop. He said, I'm just going to open this up to people.
To everybody.
So we had officially baptized 8 people that day. And then you decided. And it was funny because I'm on the altar saying to myself, if the water's open, I'm going in.
Wow.
And then you said it. And I was like,
he looks at me. He says, should I open this up to everybody? I was like, just do it. He looked at the other deacon. We're ready.
Yes. We baptized 30. I think it was like 38 people that day.
And what most people don't know is I knew who was in the room that day.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that loved God but had not divorced their sin yet.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that wanted to get baptized and had meetings with me. Mm-hmm. And I says, you're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually called my father and I said, Dad, I got this situation. These people want to get baptized. And my father said, who made you the judge of who gets baptized and who doesn't? Do you know the heart of men?
Mm-hmm.
And he challenged me. So I felt like God said, let everybody come in.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who was in that water?
Everybody.
With their clothes, they didn't have nothing to wear.
No extra towels.
So that's the part. And by the way, New Year's service. Mad cold outside.
Yes, okay. It was a New Year's Eve service.
Absolutely freezing, midnight, coldest time of the night, right? But I think what was beautiful about it is
cold in the winter, boy.
But that's the part that I think somebody out there needs to hear is that when you have an opportunity to step into a relationship with God, there's nothing that's going to stop you from that. Right, there's no sin. There's no condemnation. There is no wardrobe. There's nothing that's going to stop you. We left wet. Yeah. And we didn't want to be dried. Yeah. I wanted that water on me. Woo! You know what I mean? Like, we were just engulfed in water. P.S. The pool was tipping over. The water was going all over the floor.
We had a little blow-up pool.
It was a blow-up pool. We didn't care.
People were dancing in the Holy Spirit.
Somebody fell over and the water was just spilling over the side.
That was lethal.
That was lethal.
It touched the fourth aisle.
It was in this.
It was in this sanctuary right here.
Oh, yeah. Wow. But it was so powerful. I'll never forget that service. That was one of the most powerful things that I felt like especially when you're ready to call people. And the hunger for people to go in that water, it was amazing.
Is that why that carpet is that color?
Probably. Wow. No, there was no chlorine, so.
Boom, bow.
If we remember, salvation isn't just for the enjoyment of the individual who received it. Yeah. It's actually for the sharing of it.
That's right.
It is so others can know that there's a saving grace that was meant for them as well. You know, Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28:19 to go and to make disciples. I think sometimes we just feel like we don't want to go that next step. And that's why I think, Pastor Axel, you said earlier, it's kind of like an ongoing thing. And it's not because you didn't earn it the first time. Mm-hmm. It's I want to continue to repent, so I always remember it's not me. I want to continue to share who God is in my life so that others know that I didn't just step in for that first invitational moment. Mm-hmm. I actually am living this thing out, right? It is our responsibility to now be carriers of the Holy Spirit, carriers of this gift of salvation, and then we send this message out everywhere we go so that others can be a part of this thing we've received.
If you're watching or listening and you realize that you need salvation, you went to church and you went through the motions, but you didn't go through what we're talking about, I want to invite you to respond right now. The first step is simple. Admit that you're a sinner. Then you believe in Jesus and you call on his name. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then you believe it in your heart. Then things are going to start happening to you. I promise you. That's right.
I just want to do a quick prayer with you. A simple prayer that if you repeat this prayer, that's all it takes. And if you say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me and rose again. Come into my heart. Save me. Make me new. I receive your gift of salvation today. That simple prayer, if you repeat it with us, let us know. Write to us. And we can reach out to you and give you materials, give you whatever you need in your walk, in your new walk with Christ, that new life that only he can give you.
Amen. Listen, the Bible promises. It's funny, I'm reading this and I want to shout it a little bit, right? Because it's jumping in my spirit. But the Bible promises that if you call on the name of Jesus,
hallelujah,
you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says it like this. Everyone who calls on that name of the Lord will be saved. It's not a question mark. It's not a suggestion. If you do it, you will be saved. And then you will live based on that salvation you received. I'll tell you, if you're looking for a change in your life, there isn't another book written about it better than the Word of God. Right. He wrote it directly to his people. He wrote it to them, but man, it is for us. And I'm telling you, it will change your life.
Yep. And if you prayed that prayer, we celebrate you today. We're like, woo! And let me tell you something. There are angels in heaven. There's a party going on in heaven because you decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you've taken the most important steps towards eternal life. Connect with a Bible-believing church and grow your faith and share your testimony. Tell everybody what happened, because that's power in itself, just telling everybody. When they start seeing that you are different, they're going to be like, wow, I need to know this Jesus.
That's right. So remember, salvation is not the end. It's the beginning of a new life in Christ Jesus. Walk in the Spirit, stay rooted in the Word, and be a light to others. That's what God is calling you to. So thank you so much. This kind of flew by, didn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
We should keep talking.
I love it.
But it's the end.
Well, thanks for watching us. Remember to subscribe, share, and like. Share this with people. Somebody needs this message. And it could be some of your friends right now. So share it, subscribe, and like. And we'll see you next time on our next episode.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.